Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
Your one-hour conversation with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're going to be tested. There's going to be adversity. How you persevere says a lot about what you're going to be as a team.
The Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. To talk to the coach, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Or from outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the Jack Del Rio Show here on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. Head coach will be along. The boys just got off the field in the last half hour. Grueling day. Full pads, full sun. Jack Del Rio promised 2 weeks ago on the opening show of the season that it would be a very difficult training camp for his team. But I think his exact words were, I told him to be get ready to be sore. And I guarantee you they will be, because that sun was intense. There were some moments of clouds and a little cool breeze, but I was standing off on the sides wearing shorts and a T-shirt. I wasn't wearing the full pads and the black helmet. So I can imagine that those guys are hitting the cold showers right about now. And we expect the coach to join us in a couple of minutes. Joining us in the studio right now, though, is the brand-new Angus third-pound burger that you can get at McDonald's. Try the deluxe, the bacon and cheese, or the mushroom and Swiss, only at McDonald's. Throw the fries in on it as well, like Joe Fortunato is. It's a really good thing that I'm not asking him to talk this evening, because his mouth is stuffed with one of the biggest hamburgers that I have ever seen. You can get your Angus third-pound burger only at McDonald's. Jaguars open the preseason next Monday evening down in Miami. Just in case you didn't know, the Jaguars normally open on a Friday or Saturday night, but it was moved back to Monday night because the Marlins have a series at home. That is a 7:30 kickoff. And, of course, you will hear every minute of every game, the only place you'll find every game all season, I'm afraid to say, because of the ticketing situation and the economy. But the only place you will have the ability to participate in every game is either in the stadium or right here on the Jaguars radio network. And tonight we will talk about the Miami game next week, although I think, you know, we're savvy enough around here by now to know that there's not a whole lot of Miami talk that needs to be done. We'll talk about the Jaguars. We'll talk about David Garrard, who's been sharp the last couple of days. Was very impressed with some of the big guys today. Yesterday, I sidled up next to Jack Del Rio during the special teams practice. And, yeah, Jack is out there walking around. He's watching different guys. But he takes the time to kind of talk and bounce some ideas. And I said to him, where is Derek Harvey? I mean, that is going to be a major story all preseason long, because we did not have Derek Harvey to talk about or kick around or act, you know, boost up last summer. He was involved in that long contract negotiation. And I've had some people say, and some people say, whoa, watch out. Jack said, where have you been? Well, okay, we all can talk, think we see what we see, but it's really the coach's evaluation that makes the difference. We don't know on a given play what Ted Monachino, what Mel Tucker, what Jack Del Rio is asking Derek Harvey to do. Full speed, half speed, you know, what technique they're working. So we can stand across the field and watch. Especially, you know, they have not been in full pads all that much all summer long. They have been here on the practice field. So you're watching, you think you see something. A burst of speed, he puts his shoulder down, he's working against Trey Thomas, he gets an advantage, or he gets beat. And it's tough to make an evaluation that you can live with. You take an evaluation to Terry McDonough, and if it's wrong, he's going to give you that cross-Irish look of his and just kind of smile at your ignorance. Well, that's what he does to me, at least. So I talked to Jack, and Jack said, where have you been? What haven't you seen? He's got 14 tomahawks. I mean, this is a guy who's had a tremendous camp. In fact, I think the adjective that the coach used to describe Harv was monster. Okay. Take his word for it. Monday night, he'll get a chance to line up against Jake Long. You remember the Citrus Bowl after his senior year at Florida? He played against Jake Long down in Orlando. So we'll get a chance to see, early on at least, a couple of snaps with those two guys. That should be fun. That's what you're looking for. Individual matchups. Individuals in these preseason games where guys are really fighting to get an opportunity. You know, you may have six or seven guys at defensive end and four or five spots. You know, and when I say six or seven guys, I'm talking six or seven guys that are really in the mix. And maybe you've got four of them fighting for the last three or four spots here or there. And that's what these preseason games are about. That's what practice is about right now, is getting a chance to see him. So Jaguars have been out working. Jack promised it would be a very physical camp. It has been today, very hot today. Got to throw a quick shout-out to Luke Richardson and his team down in the weight room, because Jack brought them in this offseason with the idea of doing things differently. And when you watch the Jaguars, you don't see a lot of guys suffering from heat exhaustion. You don't see a lot of guys. And by the way, Mike Ryan and his training staff get a lot of credit for that because of the hydration, the education, the way that they work with these guys. But you don't see a lot of guys over on the bike. You know, the guys that you do see are Vinny Monowai. We know he's coming back from an ACL. And Torrey Holt, and they're taking it easy with Torrey. He's a veteran, doesn't need to prove a lot yet. So they're working him once a day, giving him some time on the bike. You don't see a lot of guys over there hanging around with Luke. Now, maybe that's because Luke drives him even harder when they're over on the side, but it's because they have gotten themselves into a different level of physical conditioning. And I was talking to Joe Zelinka just a little bit today when he was standing off to the side, and I said, have you trimmed down? He said, he's moved it around. I said, you look so much slimmer. He said, I don't weigh any less. It's just moved. And I asked him how he was dealing with the conditions of camp. He said, you know, this offseason, they took it easy where they had to, and they pushed us where they could. And this offseason, according to Joe and according to a number of players that I've talked to, has really been the most productive for them. And they, you know, they don't want to say anything negative or that can be construed as being negative about Marc Ehsanovic and his team the last couple of years. But to a player that I have talked to, and most of the coaches as well, and even Gene Smith, who was just in here doing an interview for us Monday night's pregame on the Dolphins broadcast, they're thrilled with what they've got from Luke Richardson. So it's been a good start to camp. Really, the only thing that has marred it has been the absence of Eugene Monroe. And, folks, that could come any time. I mean, if B.J. Raji, because seven, right, the wide receiver the Oakland Raiders took from Maryland, Darius Hayward-Bay, he's under contract. B.J. Raji, the big defensive tackle from Boston College right behind at number nine, is said to be close to a deal. And, you know, I didn't get a whole lot. I was talking to Mr. Weaver about it tonight when we were out on the practice field. You know, they're still grinding away, still negotiating, trying to get to a couple of points. So, you know, you could see him in here if Raji falls sometime soon. That kind of sets the market in concrete. But I wouldn't expect him anytime in the next week. I think that's going to be at least a long week to try to get him in here. And, hey, if he plays in two preseason games, it's more than they got out of their first-round pick a year ago. So, Jaguars fans, vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game this fall. All part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for the details. And we're back with more of the Jack Del Rio Show right here on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
This portion of the Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand new Best Buy over in the St. John's Town Center. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with you at this point. We are still waiting on the coach. We have been told he is coming this evening. We just haven't seen him yet. We're waiting, though. Patiently, right? 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Jaguars practice twice tomorrow, and then they practice twice on Thursday, and then camp is closed. So if you want to get out and see the boys before training camp is closed to the public, you got to do it before the end of business on Thursday. That's kind of how that one works. Then the Jaguars they stay in kind of a training camp mode, but they close practice next week. And then the week after, they go into their regular season mode before the Eagles game and before, of course, the Redskins game. So two last opportunities. Two tomorrow. I guess my math's not working tonight, Joe. If you'd stop eating the fries, you could tell me that. It was from McDonald's, by the way. Thanks for bringing it, folks. And putting them all the way on the other side of the studio over by Joe. There are four more opportunities, all right? Two tomorrow and two on Thursday to see them practice. And then the game Monday night, 7:30 kickoff. We'll cover the ball game right here on WOKV in Jacksonville, for those of you who are within our listening area, starting at 4:30 with our tailgate show. And then we'll pick up the rest of you at 6:30 on Monday evening with the pregame show. Then whistle-to-whistle coverage of the Jaguars and the Dolphins, followed, of course, by the postgame show. And some changes to our lineup this year. We'll announce those as we get closer. But you look refreshed. Did you get a shower, Coach? It was hot out there today.
Yes, I did.
You promised a very demanding camp, double day in pads, in the heat, full pads, full sun. How'd it go today?
I thought it went great. I felt like it was the last 2 days, kind of proving days, you know, the resolve. I mean, you know, hey, everybody comes into camp excited first few days, and you're running around, and then when you start to get worn and you start to get tired, you start to get sore, and then coach putting you in pads and it's hot as can be, then you really see the commitment level of a football team, and I really like the way the guys responded.
One guy in particular I thought that has had a really good couple of days, and I'm sure you've got a much longer list, but David Garrard really was sharp the last 2 days. I mean, everyone sees the quarterback with the ball in his hands, but
yeah,
I thought, I mean...
You follow the ball, don't you?
Yeah, I have to a little bit. That's what I do, but I'm starting
with
David
because
people never get tired of the quarterback.
No, and David's a good football player.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, what... I'm not sure... I think, in many respects, I think David is underappreciated. Not for us. I mean, he's just a good football player. You know, he may not be, you know, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady.
Well, there's only a few of those.
No, there's a few of those, and then I think he's in that category with of the next level. That can really, you know, take a football team and move a football team and lead a football team and do all the things that we need him to do. And so, we're excited about the camp he's putting together.
All right, let's go away from the ball for a moment. And Derek Harvey, I asked you about him yesterday, and you kind of gave me that smile. And so give us your evaluation of where last year's number one pick is in his first training camp, because he wasn't here last year.
No, he's doing okay.
Oh, come on. I just got done telling everybody that you said, where have you been?
Well, if you're watching.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're really watching, he's had a great camp. I mean, he's really approaching things in a very workmanlike way. He's a big – I mean, this guy's 6'5", 280. He's in terrific shape. He's bending the corner. He's battling Trey Thomas every day. And Trey's a Pro Bowl left tackle.
Seven-time Pro Bowler, right.
Trey may be an older, you know, long-time Pro Bowl tackle, but he's still a very strong, very big man, a very crafty guy. And he wears out a few of the other people, but Derek gives him trouble.
You know, the thing I saw from Derek this afternoon was you had him with his hand on the ground, his hand off the ground, and chasing the ball all over the place. I mean, really showing some athleticism, getting after it.
Yeah, no, he's practicing very well. I think our defense is, we've got to answer some questions, but you know, they're really committed to playing good football this year.
51. Clint Ingram.
Another one.
Wow. Every time the ball's near, he is too. And that's his job.
And he's coming with intent.
Oh, wow. He came today on it. Looked like a blitz. I don't know what it was, but, man, he was there in a hurry.
Yeah, yeah. And so those two guys have been a presence, I think, that we felt all spring. That's why I'm saying if you've been watching, you'd see Clint Ingram, you'd see Derek Carr. There are a few guys that are showing up, and they've been showing up all spring in their off-season and the way they approach practices in the off-season, and it's carried over into camp. And look – it doesn't guarantee anything.
No.
But the percentages go up dramatically.
And you play how you practice, right?
Yeah. When you practice like that, it generally translates into strong performances.
Grab a call or two here before we take a break, and we'll go to Greg, who's over on the west side. Greg, thanks for holding. How are you tonight?
Hey, that's not a problem. Coach, appreciate you taking my call. I have two questions. First, on the Eugene Monroe issue, I was curious. Are rookies mandated to have a contract in place before they're allowed any participation in camp? And then is there any way, like, if, you know, he could, like, come into camp, participate while he's negotiating? And my second question is, last year I know that we had about this time there was the whole issue with Rich, Big Rich being, you know, having that shooting accident and everything. And I know that the atmosphere of camp was a lot different. I wanted to get your analysis of what you thought the atmosphere or the feeling in camp is right now as compared to last year. And I'll take my answers off the air.
Okay, I appreciate the call, Greg, and thanks for calling in. A couple different issues. First of all, nobody can enter your camp without a contract. You know, so the off season is different, but once you go to training camp, nobody is allowed, unless they're under contract, to participate in your camp.
And that's not just on the field; that's in the meeting rooms, the room, all of that.
Can't be here. Right. So the rookie, veteran, it wouldn't matter. Either one cannot participate in any part of training camp. So that's not an option. And then the second part of the question was the atmosphere. Yeah. Every year's a new year. And I've said that before. This year, I just feel, as what I've said earlier in camp when we first reported, there's a freshness, there's an eagerness, there's a kind of on a mission type atmosphere here. The guys have bought in. I've asked them to be all in. I've demanded they be all in.
Right.
And they've embraced that. So I can demand it, but if it's not embraced, then coach has issues. So it is embraced, and the leadership is stepping up. And it's been excellent. For the people that have been out to camp, I think I get the feeling that they understand that. They can feel it watching our practices. When I come through the lines after practice and sign autographs, time after time after time, you know, fans are saying we really like the way the team's working, and seems like you have a good group of guys, and you know, and they can feel that. And so, you know, that's what the atmosphere is like.
Am I noticing, are you all in with the whole beard thing, or is that just a
I'm
long
all,
day?
I'm all in all day today without shaving.
I just wondered. We'll take a break. We're here with the head coach, Jack Del Rio, on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
And we're introducing to you the new Angus Third Pound Burger at McDonald's. Try the deluxe, the bacon and cheese, or the mushroom and Swiss only at McDonald's. I got a talker. I'd probably be loving it. 355-NFL1. 355-6351 is the year of McDonald's French fries. Walk through the studio here. Joe continues to shovel them in with both hands, and we continue to go with the Jack Del Rio Show. You can join us, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. 5-1. So who else? Who else has stood out that I've missed, that the fans out there may have missed? Is there somebody that that folks should be watching for on Monday night that maybe has slid under the radar?
I don't know. You've covered it so well.
All right, sure. Come
I
on, there's got to be somebody. Let me ask you about some of these undrafted rookies.
You're just going to have to take me. You're going to have to be a little more specific.
I was just wondering if maybe you'd pop a name off. Sometimes when I hit you out of the blue like that, you go, right. Yeah, have you not seen this guy?
Uh-huh.
Let's go with the Kennard Cox, guy who plays play corner and safety, big guy. How about Tyron Brackenridge? He made a play today out on the field. I mean, are any of these cornerbacks, these guys who are competing at corner and safety, starting to make some noise for you?
They're all in the mix.
Okay.
All in the mix. I think that's the best way to put it. I think, you know, Scotty's coming back, working once a day. That gives a guy like T-Brack and Cox, it gives them an opportunity to play a little bit more than they would.
Another T-Brack around here. I didn't even put that together.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've had one of those.
And they're doing well.
Well, but when I see these guys, Coach, I mean, if they're fighting, if they're in the mix – you've upgraded your roster from a year ago with guys like that. I mean, we're talking about big, strong guys who run and hit.
Yeah, I think when these guys are going to separate themselves is when we evaluate how they play in the game and how they play on special teams. I really think you're talking about, you know, you're talking about guys that aren't going to start.
Right.
And so the question becomes, how valuable are they? Who's the best at helping your football team? Remember, when you go to the final 53, you always have an eye on the 45 that you're going to have active.
Right.
And so who can help you win on Sunday?
355-NFL1, question we're trying to answer every day here. Dave is in St. Augustine. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. You kind of answered a little bit of the question I asked there. I was just going to ask about some of the competition at defensive back. I would like to know how Brian Witherspoon is developing as a corner, but I also wanted to ask about the running back that you signed today, Josh Vaughn or something like that, and glad to hear the atmosphere and the environment around there. I'm really hoping that this more physical environment is in training camp. I know, like you said, each year is different, but it sounds like a good mix of heavy work and light work is the way to go. And I'm glad we got the hitting on, and it sounds like things are progressing well, and I'm glad to hear it. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, Dave, thank you. Appreciate it. That part's been very good. And you know, the competition there, it's increased. I mean, you know, without a doubt. I think when you talk about guys in the back end, we feel very good about the draft pick. We feel very good about being able to add the two safeties, you know, late. You look at Marlon McCree and Gerald Alexander, and you're able to add two guys that have started in the league to really bolster our back end there. Brian Williams has come into camp in good shape and good spirits, working hard, trying to fend off the rookie corner. Scotty Starks is coming off his knee, and he's progressing nicely. Like we said, T-Brack. I mean, it's there's been some depth. And then we picked up Don Carey, who's a guy that we like coming out.
The kid from Norfolk State, right?
Correct. And liked him in the draft. He was a mid-round value kind of guy, and Cleveland took him, I believe, in the sixth round. And,
they did, yeah.
And so, you know, we saw an opportunity to grab him, and we're still trying to evaluate medically what the best position is going to be. So we're working through that. But, you know, it is a competitive group right now. And ultimately, when you have that, you don't want to get ahead of yourself. You want to let them compete.
Sort it.
You know, give them plenty of exposure, and then sort through it at the end.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Of course, if you are in the outlying areas, 800-355-NFL-1. And that phone call is entirely free to you. Jaguars fans, enter to win $50,000 towards the purchase of your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. One winner's chosen for each home game. That person and a guest receive tickets, a parking pass, and a chance to win $50,000. Log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for all the details. Linda Shearer's team over at Prudential is extremely full service. We take this break and return more with the head coach on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than the folks at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Brian Sexton back with the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio. You can join us also. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-NFL-1. This is your chance to talk to the coach. So let's go to Ron over in Arlington. Wants to talk a little bit about the tight ends. Hello, Ron. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi, Jack.
Hey, Ron. How are you tonight?
Fine. Thank you. Since you've been a coach here, the tight end basically offensively has been overlooked or not used hardly at all. And don't get me wrong. I don't expect us to have a Witten or a Gonzalez. But I just feel over these years it's just a weapon. The tight end can be a weapon that the other team has to look for, look at, account for. So my question to you is, are we going to throw the tight end 25, 30, 35 passes here, get him in the game, get him involved to get those linebackers backing up or at least a cover for him? What do you think, Coach? Thanks.
I think that's a great observation, Ron. That has not been due to a lack of effort. I think that's been something that we'd like to do and do it better. And actually, David likes the tight end. He likes throwing to the tight end. We've emphasized getting the ball to the tight end more in this offseason. I think the tight end has been a bigger part of our offense throughout this offseason and it should translate into in a big year for that position. I think Mercedes has been a guy that came out of the draft of a guy that was considered a receiving tight end. He's turned into a dominant blocker, and quite frankly, his receiving skills have kind of suffered a little bit, and we want him to become a little more fluid and get down in the seam and do some things for us. He's pretty good after the catch. Now, if you track his numbers, yards after the catch, he's actually been one of our better players. So we do need to get the ball in his hands some. And then, you know, we've been looking for that dynamic playmaking kind of guy. You know, George Reister, it was our hope we could develop him. He would be that. George just couldn't stay healthy. I mean, George just, you know, we could never, every time you got where you're feeling pretty good about it, he couldn't stay healthy. And we're hoping that Astandia continues to develop. And then this Zach Miller guy is an option for us that we just haven't had. A guy that runs 4.5, that has natural hands, that has the ability to separate. And he may be, and we're hoping, and we'll find out when we get into more activity here, but you know, we're hoping that he can be a guy that can give us a little juice at that position. And you know, between him, Mercedes, and Greg Astandia and Gulo, that group, that we can get some solid play out of the tight end position and get more down the seam and more stretch in the defense. And, you know, we're defending it all the time. Owen Daniels, Dallas Clark.
I was
Clark.
Just going there, yeah. Owen Daniels in Houston is a tremendous player.
I mean, believe me, I covet it. I'd love to have that explosive, you know, playmaker in our position in the middle of our offense.
And you just cautioned against getting too far ahead of it, especially since we haven't seen these guys. But the one thing that stands out about Zach Miller, he's got speed. He's got some real speed. And he's a pretty tough guy, too. In the Oklahoma drill, I'm watching him line up against Tim Shaw now, and he got thumped a couple of times. But he put a thump back on Shaw at least once.
Those are like two Rams hitting, you know, hitting heads.
And he was playing quarterback last year. You know, and here he is putting his hand on the ground now and lining up against a big linebacker.
You've
got a guy with a lot of things that
well, there's hope. There's hope at that position, and it's certainly something that we're looking, you know, to feature more and become more integral, you know, as part of our offense.
355-NFL-1. Appreciate the call, Ron. Let's go up the road to Savannah, where Kevin is standing by. Kevin, you're on with the head coach.
Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Coach, you said numerous times that nothing's off the table as far as improving the Jaguars this upcoming season. And I'm one of those fans that gets to the stadium earlier and watches the warm-ups. And I watch other teams, particularly the Colts and the Patriots, they do fewer reps, but it's more at game speed with the route running. I watch the Jaguars trot down the field with the wide receivers on both sides at half speed for 10 minutes with Garrard lobbing the ball up in the air. No actually game speed. Is that something you might be looking at, changing up the pregame routine?
You're talking about the pat and go part of it?
Just the warming up, the getting ready, the pregame, everything as far as throwing passes to the receivers, the receivers running routes. I mean, they will line up the receivers. I watch, and Garrard will lob the ball at a half speed, wide receivers running down each sideline for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Instead of actually doing full speed routes with the receivers, full, you know, game speed.
Sure. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I think if you're watching the warm ups next time you're out there, I think that is a part of what we do in terms of warming up. That's just getting the legs loose. We're not trying to work on specifics of route running. And then when we break down and go into individual, you'll see the tight ends will clump together, the receivers will clump together, the running backs will clump together, and then the quarterbacks are throwing routes, and they are on time, they are game speed, and it is execution. So there are just two different facets that you're referring to. We do warm them up before we start sprinting and running full-speed routes, but beyond that, in terms of 10 minutes, I don't know that we ever try and allot that long to just lob the ball in warm. I think we typically script about 4 to 5 minutes in that segment. But maybe it's gone long some of the times you've been looking. But that's a good point. Appreciate the call.
355-NFL-1. Let's take a break. We're due for one. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1. Or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show, all across the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. Lots of calls from all over the area. You can join us, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-NFL-1. Let's grab Chad down in St. Augustine. Hey, Chad, you're up with the head coach. Good evening.
Good evening, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Coach, I'd just like to commend you on picking up some of the offensive linemen and defensive backs. I've noticed over the last couple of years, and I'm a huge fan, that we've had tremendous rush blocking, but thanks to the legs of David Garrard, the pass blocking's been a little less than what I've hoped for, at least, and the pass defense as well. How do you feel about the squad that you have coming in this year? Do you feel that they're going to be able to make a bigger stand at the line and be able to knock down or rough up the wide receivers a little better?
Well, I sure hope so. You're talking about a couple areas that, you know, we've identified that we've attempted to strengthen. You can't fix everything at once. I think part of what we want to do is do everything we're doing better, you know, and that's coaching-wise, playing-wise, the execution. But we did bring in some young talent at those positions, and certainly we feel like we fortified our line with the health inside of Mo and Vinny, and Brad being back, and then outside adding the two tackles in the draft and Trey Thomas. So we feel like we've fortified ourselves there, and now we need to become a cohesive unit and block and do those things that you need to do to move people, create running lanes, and protect your quarterback.
How long does that take?
It takes time. It takes time. It takes work, but that's why we're having a physical camp right now, because we need to get it done in the trenches. In the back end, I really believe that the key for us is to not let the quarterbacks be so comfortable. I think, you know, certainly coverage, it's a tough job competing. I think Rasheen is one of the elite corners in the league. I think we have in Reggie Nelson a very rangy, athletic free safety that'll be a playmaker. If we're knocking the quarterback down and forcing him to throw off balance and getting after him. I think you'll find that those guys are going to make a lot of plays because, you know, Rasheen and Reggie are both very much ball-hawking type playmakers. And so the more of that we can do to disrupt the quarterback's timing, I think the better the secondary is going to look. Now, that's all part of team defense. So, you know, there's a lot of work that has been put in to get ourselves in position to work at it and have a good, strong defense this year. And, you know, I like the way we're starting right now. So we'll see when the fall gets here, but we're working hard at it.
Appreciate the phone call. Wes is across the river in Orange Park. Hello, Wes. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Brian, Coach, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Wes.
Good. Join the show, Coach. Think y'all going to have a surprise team, in my opinion, this year. I think that the line's fixed. But anyway, I had two questions for you, Coach. On that ball that David threw to got intercepted by Cox in the end zone, Vic said that was an overthrow where the ball sailed. And I know Vic's not a coach for you guys, but he says he's noticed that a lot in spring training. I don't know if you guys have noticed the same thing and what you're doing to fix that, because that could be a real problem. And the same question I have for you is about Paul Smith. I know he doesn't have a real strong arm, but in college he made a lot of plays, and I just want to see how much playing time he's going to get in this first game. And I know you can't be I know you have to be political in how you answer this, but you know, what do you see him being able to do in the NFL? Thank you for taking my question, Coach.
Okay, appreciate it. I'll try and be as honest and forthright as possible. I think David, the ball that Cox intercepted was overthrown. I don't think it's been a problem this offseason. I know Vic considers himself an expert in football matters, but I think he's off the mark with David, as off the mark as maybe David Stroh was. But
that was not very political. I couldn't resist.
That's what I think. Right. I mean, David's actually a very accurate seam thrower and has hit a lot of big throws over the last couple of years in that seam, and he's been very accurate. He's one of the more accurate quarterbacks in the league at throwing that seam pass. So, you know, that's been a big weapon for us, and we're going to continue to look to utilize that. Where was the other question?
I wanted to just talk about Paul. Yeah.
You know, Paul was a playmaker, a guy that, you know, really played his best in the games. He does not have a strong arm. He's super smart and a super good kid. He has to kind of overcome some of his lack of arm strength. There have been quarterbacks that have played, you know, at solid levels in this league that that had similar arm strength. That's always going to be a problem for him. I would like to get him some exposure in this game. I'd like to see how he responds in the game. We've not been able to get him into a game yet. And, you know, so I'd like to see some of those intangibles that he has, because he's a great leader, super smart, understands where he wants to go with the ball, a quick decision maker. And I'd like to see if that translates, you know, when we're actually playing against NFL, you know, caliber talent across the ball, you know, not just his own guys in practice. So so we hope to get a look at him, you know, next Monday in Miami.
Appreciate the phone call, Wes. We'll take another break. Return with more of the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. It's preseason, folks. Training camp. Jack had a meeting the coach needed to get to. So we'll wrap it up ourselves from here. We've got a call from Neil over in Arlington about running backs, and I think maybe we can answer this. Hello, Neil. The coach is not here, but what was your thought?
I just told the coach I followed him from the West Coast to New Orleans and not here to Jacksonville.
I'm sorry he couldn't wait around for your call.
Huh?
I said I'm sorry he couldn't be here for your call.
That's okay. Anyway, I just found out Deuce McAllister's available.
He is.
And I wonder, would he even consider that, going out to him?
The answer is real simple. Obviously, it's no, because today they brought in Josh Vaughn, the kid from Richmond. Ran for 1,900 yards last year and was a big part of their national championship game against Northern Iowa. And had a couple of nice runs today out on the field. You know, this team is about the future and not necessarily the present. I mean, it may come about that this team starts off and gets some things done this year and can focus on the here and now, but you know, with Gene and Jack and Terry McDonough, you know, their philosophy is young, young, young. And McAllister's a guy who's torn both the ACLs and both knees. And today when they needed a running back, because Montel Owens was not practicing, don't know what it is with Montel at this point, but Montel was not practicing, they needed a running back. They're obviously not going to want to run Maurice Drew too much in Miami. Same thing probably with Greg Jones. So they bring in J. Josh Vaughn instead. And so I would say that their interest in McAllister is none. They brought Vaughn in instead. Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1. And when you look at the way that this roster is cut, don't be surprised by anything. You know, I would go so far as to say that at least 8 of the rookies that they drafted are going to make this final 53. Maybe all 9. There are a couple of undrafteds. Julius Williams is one. We talked a little bit about the linebacker, Russell Allen from San Diego State. He's another guy that could make it on to the final. You know, I'll throw a name out there. I don't know that it's likely that he makes it, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets some consideration. Todd Peterson, the undrafted rookie free agent wide receiver from Nebraska, has had a couple of good days of practice. And then Brock Bolin, the undrafted rookie free agent fullback from Louisville, is a guy that I have been told is in the mix. You know, you're talking about that final 53 now, but you're also looking at your game day 45. And is Bolin a guy who can be active for you? And what does he do with the tight end H-back situation? So there are a bunch of undrafted rookies out there. This team is going to be heavy with young talent as they look forward. You know, whether you call it rebuilding or retooling, it's a team in transition this year. And so far, the transition seems to be a pretty good one. We'll take a break and return one final segment to this Jack Del Rio show to offer you here on Jaguars Radio. And welcome back. Final segment of the Jack Del Rio show every Tuesday night. Next Tuesday should be fun. We'll be wrapping up the Jaguars preseason opener. Don't forget, Jags and Dolphins next Monday night. 7:30 is the kickoff. You'll hear every moment of the ballgame with Jeff Lagerman, myself, Sam Jordan on WOKV. And across our network, we'll pick you up at 6:30. With the pregame show, for those of you listening local on WOKV, both 106.5 on the FM dial and on 690 on the AM dial, we'll kick things off at 4:30 with a different, for the first time in, 13 years? We will have someone different with their foot on the gas pedal and their hands on the wheel running our tailgate show. And I'm just not going to tell anybody what that is. We'll just kind of let it play out, right? You okay with that, Joe?
I'm okay with it.
Okay. Well, I'm okay that you're okay with it. So, hey, things change, folks. And we change right along with him. Jaguars and Dolphins. 4:30 tailgate show in Jacksonville. 6:30 pregame show on the network. 7:30 kickoff. Followed, of course, by the scoreboard show and the postgame show. You won't want to miss one moment of it. Lots of storylines. Pick where you start. You want to start with Gene Smith taking over this year? You want to start with a different approach to the players that they bring in? Clean out locker room. You want to talk about Jack moving his guys out of the locker room, having to earn their way back in to their posh, plush locker room. Wherever you want to go. I mean, they just don't stop. We can talk about Vinny Monowai's return. We can talk about John Henderson. That was a pretty big story. If you remember back in the summer, he had a shoulder. Jack wasn't happy. He wasn't practicing. Where is he today? I think that's very much a question that has to be asked. Maurice Drew carrying the workload. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting summer. We still have 6 weeks leading up to the opener, so plenty of time to get a feel for what this team is all about. Thanks for joining us this evening. Don't forget, tomorrow night in Jacksonville, Jaguars this week, we debut the two-hour edition with Jeff and Vic right here on News Talk Radio. For those of the rest of you on the network, stay tuned for tomorrow for the Jaguars Report, and we'll talk to you next Monday night from Miami. Have a great night.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.